Well, delightful to be together, as it always is. And this evening, we're going to spend a few moments considering a particular aspect of Psalm 50. And thank you very much to those who have read for us, Paula and Delia. And as I said, we're going to be considering a particular aspect of the psalm, which in some ways stands on its own, but it also links very nicely to some of the things we were considering last week when we looked at Malachi. You might remember from last week that the Israelites in Malachi's day, including the priests, continued to bring offerings before the Lord, but the Lord wasn't pleased with their offerings because they had become apathetic and hard. And so they were still showing up and doing the right thing, but their hearts were far from the Lord. Well, the aspect of Psalm 50 that we're going to pay attention to this evening is the call not to bring an offering of bulls or of goats, but to bring an offering of thanksgiving before the Lord. This is one of the ways that the Bible tells us very clearly that we can please the Lord. If we genuinely love the Lord, we would want to please the Lord and look for ways to please Him. And at times, we need to bring Him offerings of different kinds. But if we bring those offerings with the wrong state of heart, passages like Psalm 50 tell us that the Lord isn't pleased with that. And so bringing an offering of thanksgiving is one of the ways that we please the Lord and glorify Him. Psalm 50 verse 14 says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And Psalm 50 verse 23 says, the one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. And that's the ESV version. Some of the other versions would use the word praise in one or in both of these verses, or a similar word. Before we consider what it means to bring an offering of thanksgiving, let me take a few moments just to make a few points about Psalm 50 in general. Unlike the first 49 psalms that are either written by David or by the sons of Korah, Psalm 50 is written by Asaph, who the Bible describes as a prophetic singer and great musician of David's era. We can read something about him in various places in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Now, Psalm 50 is a psalm about God's greatness, as I think was very apparent as we were listening to it read to us, and then also about the conduct that this great God expects of His people. Verse 1 refers to God as the Mighty One, God the Lord, who speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. In verse 2 to 4 say, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silent. Before Him is a devouring fire. Around Him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His people. These verses alone paint a glorious portrait of our God. And this kind of mighty declaration of who God is central to the whole psalm. Again, in light of who God is, the other element of the psalm deals with how His people should respond to Him, because as we read, as becomes apparent in verses like verse 22, apparently the people had forgotten who God really is. What a terrible thing it is to forget who God is. And yet that's something that we need to consider ourselves. Are there moments that we forget who God is? Perhaps we're disappointed by God or by a circumstance, and in that moment we forget who God is. Or we become so busy with the various aspects of life that we forget who God is. And this is why God speaks through the psalmist in verse 21, saying, You thought I was like yourself. What a strange thing that they thought that God would be like them. And yet, aren't we humans prone to do just that? If we think of the interaction between Eve and Satan in the garden, the serpent said to Eve, "You shall be like God if you do this." And she was keen. She was up for it. And I think it's something that we carry in our hearts. If we're not careful within ourselves, we want to become like God. We want to be God over our situations instead of being worshippers of God. That, of course, is not who we're called to be or how we're called to live. And so, laying self-idolatry aside, we're called to be worshippers of the true God. And this passage, this psalm, is a very clear reminder to us of that. He is worthy of all praise and honor. And yet, how do we rightly worship this magnificent, great God? After all, he has no need for our sacrifices. The truth that is proclaimed in verses 10 to 13. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Of course he doesn't. He's God, the creator of all things. He has no need for our sacrifices, and is quite frankly opposed to ritualism if it isn't associated with relationship. But there are certain offerings that are pleasing to the Lord according to the scripture. And as we've already thought about this evening, the psalm points us to one, the offering of thanksgiving. Now, thanksgiving, I want to make 3 points this evening. Thanksgiving is good for our own hearts. Thanksgiving is a recognition of God's goodness, and thanksgiving is indeed a form of worship. Thanksgiving is good for our own hearts. It's wonderful how God calls his people to live in such a way that it actually works out for our own benefit when we live a life of worship before the Lord. Dissatisfaction is the opposite of gratitude. I'm sure some in this room have heard the story about Mama Monkey and two baby monkeys. This was one that my mama used to tell me when I was growing up. I had a sister, and every now and then we would squabble. Don't tell my boys, they squabble on occasion. But this Mama Monkey had two young monkeys who had a tendency of squabbling, and one day she brought out two bananas and gave one to each. As they opened their bananas, the older one looked at the younger one and said, "Mama, his banana is bigger than mine." And so she took a bite of his, and his was a little bit smaller. And then he looked over at his brother and said, "But now his banana is bigger than mine." And of course she took a little bite of his. And so it continued until there was nothing left. It's a simple, silly story that just shows how important it is to be grateful. When we're not grateful, when we're dissatisfied with our situation, it eats away at our own hearts, and we end up losing out. We end up missing the joy of life because we're dissatisfied with the good things that we do have. But dissatisfaction might not lead to less banana in our case, but it certainly will lead to a lower quality of life. Proverbs 30, verse 15 to 16 says, "The leech has two daughters, give and give. Three things never satisfied, four never say enough. Sheol, the barren womb, the land never satisfied with water, and the fire that never says enough." These are not happy things. How much better it is for our own hearts if we are grateful and satisfied with the life that God has given us, even though, as we've just sung, at times it might be difficult. We go through difficulties, but it is so good for us to look for things to be thankful for. And if we open our eyes, we begin to see the many, many things that are around us that we should be grateful for. Sometimes when you're shopping for something or other, some have noticed that I've got new glasses, which I'm not overly happy with. I'm still getting used to. I don't know the world of glasses. But in choosing glasses, I began to notice how many shops in town and what have you and options online there actually are that sell different glasses. And I would have never imagined that. It hadn't come to my attention because it just wasn't something I was looking out for. I'm sure that others would identify with the fact that as soon as you start shopping for something particular, you begin to notice how many places actually have it, or how many places don't have it, whichever one it is. But you just become more aware. And I think the same is true when it comes to Thanksgiving. As we begin to be aware of the things that we could be and should be grateful for, we begin to notice all sorts of other things that are there that we should be grateful for. And so we get built up in being thankful people. So thankfulness is also a recognition of God's goodness. We know the parable in Matthew chapter 20 where an owner went out and hired some laborers. And at first he offered them one denarii for the day, and they came and they worked in the field. A few hours later, he went out and hired some more laborers, and he offered them one denarii, and they came and worked for the day. And then right at the end of the day, he went out again, and there were still some laborers who hadn't been hired. And he said, come and work in my field, and I'll pay you a denarii. And they did. And at the end of the day, everybody, although they hadn't worked the same number of hours, all of the laborers got paid the same amount. And this is verse 10 to 15. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled to the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. I think in some ways we can hear their plight. We can understand where they're coming from. But the master replied to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose? Do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? It's easy for us to begrudge God's generosity to others. We're slow to see the many things that God has given us. And I think that we're often quite quick to begrudge what God might have given others, even though the truth of the matter is that we don't necessarily know what others have been through and possibly are going through at this very moment. But somehow, with our human nature, the grass always seems a little bit greener on the other side. And yet, that's not God's best for us. We need to be a grateful people, and we need to realize that God might treat different people in different ways. They are in different circumstances, and we need to trust God's goodness, even when from our perspective, we don't understand. Yes, the workers who had worked the day in the scorching sun, we can understand that they might not have understood why the others were getting paid as much as they were. But the right thing for us to do when we don't understand is to trust God's goodness. Gratefulness is an expression of trusting in God's goodness. That God's grace is enough for us, and that the things that he has given us are sufficient for the life that he has called us to live. Finally, thanksgiving is a form of worship. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Give thanks in all circumstances. That's not an easy thing to do, but again, the psalm calls us to make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to be grateful and not to slip into dissatisfaction. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Sacrifices cost, very difficult to make. But give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And if it's the will of God for us to do that, it's worshipful when we do our part in giving thanks in all circumstances. Earlier, I mentioned that God isn't pleased by ritual without relationship. By ritual, I'm referring to a set of actions or words that are performed in a regular way as an offering to God. Examples might be times of fasting, tithing, morning devotions, church attendance, and so on. There is indeed a place for rituals in our Christian walk, and these can all be very meaningful, but as long as they are deeply rooted in relationship with God. If any of these things simply become a ritual and become disconnected from our relationship with God, they dry up and become displeasing to God. They're not worshipful if done apathetically or begrudgingly. Psalm 57:9 says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against you. I am God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me." Very well, our offerings of various kinds might be before the Lord, but God is not pleased by ritualism alone, and that's one of the things that this psalm makes clear. Verse 9 goes on, "I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds." If we think about the rituals that we might engage in terms of our Christian walk, maybe it's church attendance. Church attendance is a ritual, and it's a very healthy ritual. But do we come with the right attitude? Do we come with gratefulness and thanksgiving in our hearts? Or is it possible that it's become a meaningless ritual in some ways? Now, what about communion? We had communion this morning. When we partake in communion, do we do so with deep thanksgiving in our hearts? Or do we simply take the bread, okay, done, take the wine, done? We need to be sure that these things are connected with relationship. The same can be said for reading the Bible, our morning devotions. Is there life within them? Are we connecting with God, or are we simply ticking a box? And if we find that we're simply ticking a box with any of these things, we need to ask the Lord to search our hearts and to change us and to shake us up. Tithing is another one that we need to see what the Bible says about. Because God doesn't need our money. I think that's something that we need to recognize. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our sacrifices. If anything, we need to bring our sacrifices to the Lord, because that tests and changes our own hearts. And 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 makes these things clear when it says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." In all these things, when we give cheerfully, that is an act of worship to the Lord. Let's give, let's bring our offerings, but let's make sure they're offerings of worship, not simply ritualism. As we close, those 3 points again. Thanksgiving is good for our own hearts. Thanksgiving is a recognition of God's goodness. And thanksgiving is a form of worship. Verse 23 reads, The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To the one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. Amen.